You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Oil companies need to step up. We are calling on them to do the right thing, to be patriots here, and not to use the war as an excuse or as a reason to not put out a production, to not do the capacity that is needed out there, so that the prices can come down.
I represent about 800,000 patriots, people that are getting up every day. Right now paying over $5 a gallon for gasoline. Look, if they control the rheostat on gas prices at the White House, it's not Vladimir Putin, it's not the oil companies. It's 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue that controls the rheostat. They can take gas prices up, they can bring gas prices down.
That's absolutely correct. And of course, this is June 16, 2022. We are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA, and it will open up to our page. You can go to the videos or the channel and immediately push live, and you're in studio with us. Now, let me remind you something. You can also subscribe to our presentations on rumble.com or our podcasts that are posted after we finish each day at LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com, or anywhere you get your podcast, you'll find us. Subscribe, it's for free. Listen to programs you missed, share them with others, because every program is packed with solid, factual information and certainly my commentary. I'm no longer shackled and anchored to an anchor desk. As a newsman, I can now express my opinions, and I do. So what you just heard then was Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House spokeswoman. Remember, her qualifications, as they made a big note of, she is the first black lesbian White House press secretary. And that's about all she's proven that she is. And here she is, again, echoing the Biden line that the oil companies are to blame. They got a quick gouging. That's why the president sent out a letter to the oil companies the other day and convening an emergency meeting. Now he's convening an emergency meeting? Isn't this very similar to what we saw, the baby formula? It went along for several months before suddenly, oh, my God, we've got a crisis. And then you heard behind her directly Senator Bill Johnson, Republican of Ohio. He said, I've got constituents that know that the real blame is to be found at the White House. Threatening gas companies, calling an emergency session, and all in the midst of this, everything else is going upside down, Biden inflation getting more and more out of control, to the extent that the Fed yesterday issued an unprecedented hike, at least in recent history, Three quarters of a point. I'm going to be joined later today by my guest, Joel Griffin, the Heritage Economic Expert. This latest Fed raise, 0.75 at one time. Could that be still too little and too late? We'll get into that discussion. Democrats, of course, are leaving Latinos. They don't even try to understand them anymore. That's evidenced by Myra Flores winning that Texas primary congressional district that had 100 years gone blue. She's likely to win that entire district before it's over with. And there are other Republicans, Latinos along the border, the same thing. And what they're saying, Democrats left us. They don't understand us. They don't care about our values, but we care. We care about our values, our families, and our country, which is the U.S. of A. You would have Democrats telling you that Latinx, as they call them, hate America. Really? That's not what we're seeing here. And, of course, all the Democrats can be focused on right now is January 6th and the hearings. And they continue again. They're still looking for a way to officially bring criminal charges against Donald Trump in some fashion. Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat, Illinois, responds to that question. We have a lot to cover. Plus, crime in New York City and Chicago and elsewhere. Some reporters suddenly decide, you know, it's really in each of those cities, it's mainly limited into several blocks, just a few blocks. No kidding. No kidding. And could Brian Stelzer be on his way out at CNN and NNN? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with a Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone, rise up ting ting like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up ting ting like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I feel like the Democrat Party has walked away from the Hispanic community. They've gone so far left, and they don't represent our values. People always ask me, Myra, how can you be a Republican whenever you were born in Mexico? And that clearly shows me that they know nothing about our culture. I was raised with strong conservative values. We're all about faith and family and hard work. That's who we are. So our values do really align with the Republican Party. But I do feel that, you know, for a long time prior to 2020, no one was really paying attention to the Hispanic community. And I'm grateful that finally the Republican Party is investing in the Hispanic community because we are the future. But the Democrat Party has completely abandoned us and taken us for granted. They feel entitled to our vote, and they feel they don't really have to work for it.
They don't feel they have to work for the Latino vote. You know what? They have felt the same way about the black vote for decades. And the Democrats are also realizing they are not doing as well as they should or thought they would with the black voters this time either. More and more black voters are making their own mind up. They're not going to be led around by the nose as they have been. They're not going to be told to gather and we'll pick you up, take you from the urban plantation and drop you off for voting polls or bring ballots to you to sign and just put in mark dem. It's already there for you. Just put a signature on it quickly and we'll rush it right into the election poll. Same thing with Latinos. There was a poll that showed that Trump support, even the New York Times admitted in 2021, how much Latino voters played a meaningful role in tipping the Senate and the presidency to the president 1 year, but then looking again, when it came to a closer look at it, a comfortable majority of Latinos, estimated 61%, supported Joe Biden. So that was pretty good, they thought. But buried inside there, what they're trying to ignore, as they have ignored the Latino voters and their lifestyle, their beliefs, their heritage, and what they want, is the fact that there was still an 8-point swing that went to Trump when he ran against Hillary, and again against Biden. And the same shows on stats regarding black voters. The Democrat Party has reached the attitude, we don't need any confirmation from anyone but ourselves. We can look in the mirror and say, we know best, follow us. And black members of Congress are just as emboldened and as sure as they are, as I just said, with black voters as well as they think with Latino voters. But they're wrong. They're wrong, and it's coming back to bite them in the arse. Now, Myra Flores, basically, in this primary in Texas, ended up winning the 34th Congressional District in a special election. She won. She is now a congresswoman-elect. She is going to be sworn in as a member of Congress. She flipped a seat that's been under Democrat control for 4 decades, maybe longer than that, maybe closer to 100 years. And she's Latino, living along the border. And even Elon Musk, who had moved to Texas, said, for the first time in my life, I voted Republican. And he cast his vote in favor of Myra Flores. And he predicted a massive red wave in 2022. Now, that's Myra. There are other Latinos who are running in various congressional seats in various areas and states. But one of them in particular is also in Texas. She is running for a district seat as well. Monica de la Cruz, a Texas congressional candidate, and she echoes the words of Myra Flores when it comes to what the Democrats think of Latino voters.
I am a former Democrat who walked away from the Democrat Party because the Democrat Party is far removed from the values that are important to Hispanics. Those values include their faith, it includes their family, and it includes love of country. My great-grandparents and my grandparents had the American dream, and that's why they came here. And for Democrats to say that dream no longer exists is ridiculous. And Hispanics are here because they believe the dream exists, and they want to be part of it.
Do you hear what she said? They believe the dream exists here in this nation. And now that is the same for all these trying to come into the country illegally. If they're coming here to become part of America, to assimilate, to bring their culture and to share in the wealth and the prestige and freedoms and liberties we had that they don't have elsewhere. Now, if they're coming in with the intent of radicalizing this nation and making it more like what they left, then they're coming for the wrong reason. And you have to ask why they would even bother. Because according to many of the black Democrat leaders and those speaking out on behalf of the Democrats and liberals, our nation is systemically racist. Systemically racist. And yet how many Latino and black and other minorities, Asians, are very successful? Sometimes they're running their own business now. Sometimes they work for someone else. But sometimes they're getting college degrees. Sometimes they're not. Maybe they do vocational training. But they see that only in America is all of this possible. I told you this story the other day about a man from Ghana. He celebrated his first anniversary as an American citizen. And he came here when he was 16 years old, and It was always his dream to be an American. And so he worked hard and he became an American, and he is proud of it. And he said, in his words, only in America. And he had a shirt on that said, American Pride. We have many who were born, who got the golden ticket granted by God to be born in this country, who hate it, and they want to dismantle it. And yet many of those same who make those remarks are, one, extremely rich, and they got that way because of other Americans supporting whatever their vocation would be, a movie star, a rock star, a whatever. And they also continue to say, well, if things aren't going to go right in this country, I'll move somewhere else. Really? Where are you going to go? And what other country do you have so many people begging and trying to get in illegally if they have to? So Flores won the GOP congressional district in that special election. And by winning it, it was, again, an added part of a dream that she had when she was also very young.
I was blessed to come here to the United States legally when I was 6 years old, and I want that experience for all children. I don't want any child to have to go through such dangerous journey, so I'll never understand why the Democrat Party continues to encourage with their policies illegal immigration, knowing what they're going to go through. And I want to focus on legal immigration and improve the process where they don't have to go through that journey. And look, we don't have to hear it in TV about the border crisis. It's happening here right behind our backyard. So it's very real to us. Child trafficking is very real to us. And children are innocent no matter where they're from, and they should be our priority.
And she knows that many of those children coming across the border illegally were either purchased from a family in the South so they could form, quote, a family so they could get into the U.S. easier. Or maybe they're being kidnapped by drug cartels that are going to bring the children in, posing as a family, and turn them over to pedophile rings. And you may never hear those children again. Or you might some 5, 10, 20 years down the road hear stories of horrific abuse such children went through, and some survived, and telling stories of how they were brought here and promised things, but they were raped along the way to get here. And then when they were here, they were sold into sexual slavery and bondage until either they died or they finally escaped. That's the story you're going to hear in the future, my friend. I'll tell you that right now. And Myra Flores recognizes that. And again, Monica Dela Cruz, who is a Texas congressional candidate, said Hispanics are rejecting everything this Biden White House administration wants you to believe, one, about Latinos, and two, about how they, the Democrats, will take care of them.
Hispanic voters are seen through the garbage that the Democrats are putting out. Hispanic voters with their votes are showing that they stand with Border Patrol. They stand with custom agents. We believe as Hispanics in law and order. And what the Biden administration is doing to our law enforcement officers and our brave men and women on the border is just disgusting. And Hispanics are going to show that feeling of disgust with the Democrat Party in November.
Certainly are. They're going to in November. Now, Trump got about 31%+, maybe closer to 36% a Latino vote last time. It will be higher this time for those candidates in the midterm getting more Latino votes. And whoever runs for 2024 on the GOP ticket should garner even more because they're fed up with the Democrats and their lies. And when it comes to the law and order issue, many Hispanic families are very big on that. Yes, there are the gangsters. There are gangsters in every group. But there are also the hard working families who do the best they can to take care of their families in every way possible. And Law and Order being one of them. And many of the Border Patrol agents are Hispanic heritage. Maybe direct, maybe a various percentage. But they've been demonized by this Biden White House and the Democrats. And remember the picture that they claim was showing mounted Border Patrol agents whipping Haitians trying to come ashore? Haitians, black people trying to come to a country that, according to all the black leaders on the Democrat Party, is a systemically racist country, yet they still want to come here. They were not whipping. They were using horse reins to shy them away and keep them from getting near the horse and maybe being stepped on or knocked down and hurt. And they were cleared. The investigation found they did not do any whipping. It was all a fabrication. But you know what? The Biden administration still wants to see them punished. They might lose their jobs, might lose some pension benefits. They're going to find a way to make them pay just because, as Biden was saying, it was a horrific-looking picture. Because it was a lie. So it was January 6th. We'll get more on that in the next hour. But when we come back, let's begin with some of it with Dick Durbin, senator from Illinois, and his view on the January 6th hearings. You could almost write the script. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I can tell you it's a very convincing case. They've collected a mountain of evidence, and they're presenting it in a very thoughtful way, an organized way. And I watched the initial hearing, the two-hour hearing, from start to finish. I knew most of the facts going in, but there were revelations that came about because of their good work. And let me tell you the bottom line here. This is historic. It is important that we pay close attention to it. We tried to create a bipartisan commission, not members of Congress, but of experts, just like the 9/11 commission. Senator McConnell and the Senate Republicans vetoed that idea. I think that was a mistake. But luckily, the January 6th subcommittee has come together, and they have the participation of two individuals from the Republican side, one Adam Kinzinger from Illinois, and of course, Liz Cheney. I salute both of them for their courage, political courage, and stepping up to make sure the American people know the facts.
Know the facts. Know the facts. That is Dick Durbin, senator from Illinois, Democrat, of course, about this January 6th hearing. Yes, they're back in session today. And if you look at the opening page of CNN on their webpage, my God, it looks like there's nothing else going on in the world. Well, then you see they're finally putting a few more stories up. But headline, Cheney, what Trump wanted Pence to do was illegal. Now, that Cheney, of course, is Liz Cheney, one of the two Republicans on the January 6th hearings. January 6th, I've said it repeatedly, I'll repeat it again. It was wrong, it never should have happened, but not everyone inside the Capitol is guilty of a crime. Some just wandered in, they didn't know what happened. They were down at the speech being given by Trump down the street. And then they wandered on down there to see what was going on. Doors were open. They walked in. Now, those who battled police, who defecated in a hallway or sprayed graffiti or stole items, threatening House members, Senate members, staff, yes, they should be held accountable. It was not patriotic. But even Rachel Maddow, who's almost disappeared now from MSNBC because I think her days are numbered, as are Brian Stelter over at CNN, which we'll discuss later. She said, most of those attacking, and she used the word attacking and assaulting the Capitol on January 6th, were not even at the Trump speech. They were members of the Proud Boys, various groups and so forth, which are over the top and claim that they are patriotic when in fact they're not, any more than the supposed truckload of those picked up going to interrupt a pride parade this last weekend. You're not showing patriotism like that. You're showing you're just as criminal and a lawbreaker as others. We do have laws in this land, and we stand by our laws. We want laws changed. We work to achieve it. But, of course, while the focus is all on January 6th and the threat to our democracy, you don't hear one single Democrat call out those who are protesting and threatening our Supreme Court justices because of what may be the Roe v. Wade overturn ruling that could come maybe next week, maybe the last day of the session before the court adjourns. You don't hear them calling them out. You don't hear them saying, go make arrests, go take care of them, go put them in handcuffs. Now, there's criminal action right there because it's a federal statute that's being directly violated. It's not innocuous. It's not unclear. It's there in black and white. We're going to get into that subject in more detail in this next segment coming up. And we're also going to point out how now the January 6th committee seems to be focusing on how it can slander and slur Justice Thomas, because he might also vote to overturn the so-called law of the land, Roe v. Wade, via his wife and some messages and text messages she was sending in or around January 6th. We will begin with that part of the story when we resume. And then before we're done, an unusual study that finds crime is where crime is.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You are the chair of the Judiciary Committee. As you watch these hearings unfold, do you see evidence of crimes committed that should be referred to the Department of Justice?
Well, I can tell you I want the whole body of evidence to be presented first, and I'm sure the Attorney General is watching closely, as he should. Whether this has reached that threshold of criminal culpability is an important decision that has to be made by the Department of Justice. But I will tell you the mountain of evidence which they're presenting to us, I think, is conclusive to me personally. I hope that those who have to make the decision on criminal culpability see it the same way.
In other words, the question as it was posed to Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois by the CNN, I don't want to call him a news anchor, but by the CNN talk show host, basically was, do you think there will be criminal charges? In other words, come on, let's get some criminal charges. Let's go after Trump on criminal charges for inciting this riot. And anyone else that might be convicted, criminal charges. Now, there are those who are already being held, and some have already posted bail and been released. One, of those being accused, says he's falsely accused, still is yet to be brought before a judge officially. He's basically in a last check in solitary confinement for months now, which in itself would seem inhumane treatment by our U.S. Constitution. But they're just going to try to make as many criminal elements linked to this as they can. And some might be actually legitimate. Some might be fabricated. And some might just be, well, because of who they are, we're going to charge them. By who they are, I mean anyone that might be a Trump supporter or was caught wearing a Trump cap while they were in the Capitol. Even if they just walked in. They were down the street listening to the speech at the time. I know those of you watching me on rumble.com, I've seen some comments. Larry, you seem to get really enthused and really fired up on the camera there. Yeah, I am. And I know you hear it in my voice on the radio or however you're listening by our app or online. It is because this is absolutely, in so many ways, wrong. But don't let the facts interfere with the story and the narrative that the Dems are pushing by January 6th. While they are ignoring obvious crimes right in their face and did through the summer when we had all the rioting and vandalism and looting and arson and assault on police and federal officers. For that, it was just, well, as one Democrat was said, it's people will do what they do, you know, and they get upset. They might act out. You can quote, that quote can go to either Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, or any other Democrat. They all think alike to that extent. But now there's something else they're focusing on, and today the word is coming down. In fact, the latest statement being released directly from the January 6th committee, the Democrat Congressman Benny Thompson, who's overseeing it, told reporters the committee will be inviting the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, Jenny Thomas, to talk to the committee soon. In light of new emails that show she was communicating with conservative lawyer John Eastman. As Thompson said, it's time for us to invite her to talk. Well, what's going on here? Well, here's where this comes down. The House Select Committee has in its possession more than 24 text messages, apparently 29 in total, between the former Trump White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and Virginia Jenny Thomas, who is the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and also a conservative activist. Text messages, according to sources, between early November 2020 and mid-January 2021. At one point, she revealed she attended the pro-Trump rally that preceded the U.S. Capitol attack, January 6th, but says she played no role in planning the events that day. That's in the text. But they think maybe we better question her directly. CNN says it has seen the text messages pleading with Meadows, chief of staff, to continue the fight to overturn the election results. Help this great president stand firm, Mark. You're the leader with him who is standing for America's constitutional governance at the precipice. The majority knows Biden and the left is attempting the greatest heist of our history. That was written November 10, 2020. November 10. Long time before January 6th. And yet they're going to find a way to try to tie it all together that she was basically encouraging what happened on January 6th. I'm looking through what they're showing and what they're trying to present. I think one of the latest, one of them is November 24, 2020. She said, I can't see Americans swallowing this obvious fraud. They have apparently the committee has only one text from the month of January 2021. That was 4 days after the riot. And in that, she complained that Vice President Mike Pence didn't take steps necessary to block certification of the election results. I don't think Mike Pence could have done that. That is my opinion, but not a legal scholar. Others have said the same. Others have said, yeah, there were things that could be done. I'm not qualified to get into that with you. I'm not even trying to. I'm just trying to share the latest and the only text he had that took place after January 6th. But based upon that letter, Senator Durbin says there's something going on here.
Spouses do not give up their rights as citizens to vote, to speak, and so forth, but there is a context that they have to be very carefully to be sensitive to, and that is whether or not they've crossed a line into influence or impact on policy. That is an issue that's raised
It seems she's crossed the line. That seems fairly simple, does it not?
Well, I can tell you that's the second point. The second point is, as far as Mrs. Thomas is concerned, she clearly was not just exercising her constitutional rights. She was deeply personally involved in what appears to be an effort to overturn the election in the last cycle. That is a serious matter, and it raises a question as to whether the Supreme Court justice she's married to should recuse himself from all matters related to this. There is a clear conflict of interest. The last point that I want to make.
All right, let's say that there's a conflict of interest. But if there's any clear evidence, as you heard Durbin say, that she was involved in the January 6th event, where the hell is it? Don't you not think that CNN would be running that banner all through the day of what she said that directly ties her to January 6th and encouraging it? She was encouraging, do not let this election go unchallenged. She was encouraging that the votes not be counted, accepted as they were. That is all true. But that is a far cry. That's a constitutional right you can have and you can make, even as a wife of a Supreme Court justice. But at no point did she do anything to encourage what they call the riot, or what they really want to say, the insurrection, January 6th. If they had it in any of those text emails, when they were sharing them with CNN, NNN, they would have said, look at this one. You know why they're not doing it? Because they don't have it. But you know what they're also ignoring? While they're trying to paste together crimes against some that may or may not be guilty, and basically trying to smear any Republican, any Democrat, yes, I said Democrat, or independent that voted for Trump or has questions about that last election. They're trying to smear them all, and yet they're ignoring a crime right in their face. In fact, the violent pro-abortion group known as Jane's Revenge, which is linked to the anarchist group, the Antifa, has declared, quote, open season on pro-life crisis pregnancy centers and issued an ultimatum. They sent out a letter and said, 30 days have come, 30 days have passed. We don't see any sign of those of you who impersonate healthcare providers in order to harm the vulnerable. In other words, they're suggesting your 30 days expired. We offered you an honorable way out. You could have walked out. Now the leash is off. We'll make it as hard as possible for your campaign of oppression to continue. They have already firebombed, threatened members at crisis pregnancy centers. Are these women not entitled to the rights of their body to bear a child or have a in vitro fertilization if necessary to have a baby? According to these groups, no. And there's a direct crime which the Democrats continue to ignore. One of my writers, my listener, sent me a note about every time I referred to A.G. Merrick Garland. He said it really should be A.G. Meritless Garland. Meritless Garland. I got some good examples of that coming up as well. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Mustang Savage. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So as I was telling you, we've got this pro-abortion group declaring open season on crisis pregnancy centers with a letter very clear in its threatening tone. Your 30 days have expired. The leash is now off. From here forward, any anti-choice group who closes their doors and stops operating will no longer be a target, but until you do, it's open season. We know where your operations are. In other words, there is a direct threat. Do you see the Attorney General responding to that? Do you see members of Congress, especially Democrats, saying that's wrong? No, no. Let's focus on the wrong about January 6th. And when it comes to attacks upon justices and judges at their homes, I remind you there is a specific federal statute in our U.S. Code, 1507, whoever with the intent of interfering, obstructing, or targeting the administration of justice, or the intent of influencing any judge, juror, witness, or court officer in the discharge of the duty, in or at their home, their residence, or building, you're guilty of a federal crime. And they continue to carry out these parades, demonstrations, marches at Kavanaugh's house, and even targeting Judge Barrett's children where they go to school. And A.G. Merrick Garland is still doing nothing, really. Nancy Pelosi was slow to get around to passing additional protection for them. Last weekend, she said, well, nobody's going to die with a weekend if we don't pass it Friday last week. It was passed unanimously in the Senate, but Nancy, being power that she is, she make her own decision who's at threat, because she doesn't like what these judges may decide. And again, I mentioned that one of my Twitter followers, a listener of the program, had tweeted out, Michael C. He said, it is meritless Garland. And I agree with him. Open season on crisis pregnancy centers, and meritless Garland is doing nothing. Now, reference crime. The New York Times, the morning. My morning slap in the face. Good morning, Larry. Although this one was written by German Lopez. It says, good morning. A small number of blocks often account for most of the gun violence in U.S. cities. Oh, my God. Somebody actually discovered that and put it in the New York Times. He starts out, 35 were killed in mass shootings in Buffalo, Uvalde, and Tulsa over the past few weeks, focusing on our unique gun problems. And he said, but at the same time, about 1,800 were killed, 500 wounded, and nearly 1,600 other shootings in the U.S. He said, I want Chicago to see what it's like in Chicago. I met a 24-year-old who'd spent part of his time in jail on domestic violence and weapons charges, saying, I'm trying to rebuild my life, but it's hard here. He said, my neighborhood, I try to avoid spending too much time in this block. Even if I'm not a direct target, violence is so common, I could be hit by a stray bullet. No kidding. And in fact, in St. Louis, a carjacking with shots fired left a one-year-old shot in the head. I think the baby is going to survive at last check. I hope so. This New York Times article goes on to point out, of 80 homicides per 100,000 in the year 2020, 85% were black, 16% were Latino, 2% were white. And then he points this out as if this is suddenly an awakening. According to shootings across Chicago and the crime lab that did the study, just 4% of the city blocks in Chicago account for the majority of shootings in Chicago. That's where the gangsters are. That's where they are glad to hear defund police, no more police in the neighborhood. That's where neighbors are afraid. You pull police out of here, we're really going to be under more threat. So all this violence, I know Uvalde was horrific. I know it. And I feel for the parents. I pray still for those parents and the kids who survived and witnessed what happened. But this is happening everywhere. And in gangster territory, like those four city blocks in Chicago, They do it on a constant basis. You don't hear the blue leftists in those cities complaining, really. It's just another day. Just go to sleep with the sound of the lullaby gunshots. Oh, by the way, the AMA has chosen a new president, the American Medical Association. He's a dermatologist. I'm not knocking dermatologists. They're doctors. And I'm sure he's probably saved some lives in the sense of finding a melanoma that was going to be cancerous. I'm not going to knock that at all. But what I am pointing out to is that as he began to talk about what he sees as a goal for the AMA, he said one of the things we need to do is we need to deal with a public health crisis on gun violence. And he talks about all the doctors who see all the gun violence. As a dermatologist, I don't think he sees many of them. But others do. I will grant that. But here's the new president of the AMA saying our new direction, we should be focusing on more gun control laws. It's this kind of idiocy that creates that four city blocks in Chicago and elsewhere. Coming up, Biden's going to punish you, going to make you suffer, going to make you suffer if you don't get an electric car. Oh, you can't afford one? Too bad.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.